and God is still good, and the creeks didn't rise, and we are here. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he's still on the throne. He still remembers who we are. And he's proud of us sometimes, Jeremy. Now, sometimes he looks at old Sam and goes, man, what are you thinking, boy? But he's really kind of proud of us sometimes, I think. And it's good to serve a God that goes through everything with us, you know. Good times, bad times, Norman, right? And he's made us a promise. You're going to see that little girl again. Amen. Hey, little gal, we've been praying for a lot lately. One of these days, things ain't going to be like they are right now. It's a little girl we're going to see again. Because of a place called heaven. And all because of Jesus. Amen. And what he did on the cross. I have not done nothing. I can't do nothing. Regardless of what I may try to do, I can't do anything. He said, just come. Just come. And he loves us all. Amen. He loves us all. Sometimes that's hard to fathom, isn't it? We go around a lot of times, and I wish I'd have brought some with me, but I didn't know it was going to come up. But that's okay. Sometimes we go around. We always do, really. Actually, we go around and we stick name tags on each other. Don't we? Huh? Don't we? Stick name. Well, he's in a bad mood today, ain't he? Huh? What's the matter with her? She's really kind of sour today. We stick names on each other, don't we? But God loves us regardless of our mood. He understands, Cleve, what we're going through, brother. He knows what you... And matter of fact, you know, how many of you have thought of something besides church since you've been here tonight? Huh? Sure we have. Sure we have. And that's kind of what I wanted to kind of dwell on here tonight a little bit, if we can. It's, man, I love red lights, don't you? Huh? I love red lights. Did I get an amen there? No, I hear think not. Huh? Red lights and stop signs. Huh? Come on. Somebody amen me. Huh? Okay. Red lights and stop signs. What else did I write there? Oh, rest areas. Everybody like rest areas? Sure you do. Everybody, please, double hands. Everybody loves rest areas. But the red lights and the stop signs, you know, we go through that not only driving down the road. We compare spiritual life a lot of times to driving down the highway, don't we? Look at the signs. There's a curve ahead. Huh? Come on. Look out. Stop ahead. You run over them little rumble strips. You better pay attention. Huh? You better stop. Why? If you don't, you're going to get smacked, ain't you? Or you're going to smack somebody. Stop signs and red lights. And we're in such a hurry nowadays, we can't stop for red light. You know, we got to go... run right on red. And there was a little story I was thinking of coming down the highway. Said there was a fella. He came to the same stop sign every day. And like I do, and like you do, go ahead, admit it. You roll up that stop sign, but you don't stop. You just kind of roll on through. Anybody else ever do that? No. I see some heads going, no, not me. No. Well, this fella did this every day. And one day there was a highway patrolman sitting there. And he saw him roll too. So he went about a block down the road, and sure enough, whoop, whoop, whoop. He pulled over. He said, is there a problem, officer? Officer said, yes, sir. Said, you didn't stop for that stop sign that back there. An old fellow said, well, said, I kind of slowed down. He said, it says stop. It don't say slow down. He said, well, I've been doing it every day for a long time, so I just slowed down and rolled right on through. The officer said to stop. And the old boy says, well, what's the difference? You know, stop, slow down, slop, slow down. Man, that officer jerked him out of the car, and he took him and he laid his hands up on the hood, and he took his billy stick and went wham, wham, started beating on his hands. And he said, now you want me to stop or you want me to slow down? There is a difference, isn't there? There is a difference in stopping and slowing down. And we need everything in our life. We need stop signs. We need red lights. I ain't got enough sense to stop. I want to go, go, go. Be busy, busy, busy. Just like Jason was. Man, wasn't that a good message this morning? Mercy. Can I get an amen there? Man, that boy preached this morning. Excellent. But we want to go, go, go. Busy, busy. But sometimes it pays us to do what? Stop and look and listen. Stop and look and listen. Father, I do thank you for this day and for your many, many blessings on us. Take these few minutes together. Help me to say something that may encourage somebody or help somebody along the way, I pray. We love you, Lord. We're thankful for the service thus far. We're thankful for your presence. Just be with us, we pray. In your name, amen and amen. Book of John. Luke, excuse me. Book of Luke. The book of Luke. Chapter number 10. I want you to think about some of the things that make you stop and look and listen. Well, we've already named a few: stop signs, red lights, rest areas. What about sickness? Diseases? The death of a loved one? Make a stop and look and listen. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It's all familiar, but it never grows old, does it? That story of Jesus. Tell me the story. Bible says this, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and did what? Heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. When God says something twice, you better pay attention, amen. This morning, Jason read the scripture in Exodus chapter 3, and he said, what did he say? Moses, Moses. Over in the book of John, I believe it is, he says, Simon, Simon. Here he's talking to this sister. We assume, or I assume, I should say, that she's the elder of the two, maybe. Martha, Martha. Bless your little heart. Bless your little heart. These girls are mentioned here And then they're mentioned in the book of John. We won't turn there tonight, but you know the story. John chapter 11. What happened in John chapter 11? Lazarus. And you know Jesus is 4 days late again, right? Yeah? Yeah? But hey, these same two girls are mentioned in that scripture. And they had a brother. And his name was Lazarus. And Lazarus was sick, and they called for Jesus. And like I say, he was 4 days late, but he was right on time. Right on time. You know, God's got his own watch. He don't pay no attention to mine. He goes on his own time, and I'm thankful he does. I'm thankful that he looked beyond my fault and saw my need just on time. And then you know what he done, Don? He reached way down, right on time, and picked this old boy up. Right on time. Now, there's a lot of stuff on my heart tonight, and if I shared everything I got on my heart, we'd be here this time next week probably. And Josh would run me off because he'd say, it's my turn now. But stop and look and listen. I am going to ask you to turn to John just briefly to that chapter 11, because we saw here where Mary was doing what? Which sat at Jesus' feet. Now, John chapter 11. Told you wrong. I said I wasn't going to make you turn, but let's turn just so you can see. Verse 32. Bible says this. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, what'd she do? She fell down at his feet. What a place to be, at the feet of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Stop and look and listen. Now, they used to teach us that about railroad tracks, you know. Stop and look and listen. But we need to do that when it comes to our spiritual side as well. We need to, sometimes we just need to stop. Don't slow down, because you know what the highway patrolman will do to you. Stop and look to Jesus. Listen to what he's got to say. We need to do that. We get, most of us, Martha, Martha. We want to go. I mean, it's just in our nature, is it not? To go, 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 go. Get up and go, go, go. And go home and eat a bite and go, go, go. Right? Be like Martha and go. And serving and going is good. But not if we don't stop and look and listen first. Picture this now. This was back in the old days. This was back before TV and radio and cell phones and any phones. Jesus comes knocking on the door. Now, I don't know if they'd ever met him before. We have no indication of that. We assume a lot of stuff. The only thing we know is what's in this book. The only thing we know is in this book. Amen? A lot of other things are assumed. Now, it's okay. God wants us to use our brain and imagine and think. So let's think a little bit. Jesus comes knocking on the door. Now, he's just left the crowd. And you know what he's talked about? The Good Samaritan. How we all ought to be. Because some little lawyer in the back stood up and said, "And who's my neighbor anyway?" So he asked. Jesus told him. Amen. And he's just left there. And he's got, by this time, Jesus' popularity has expanded. He's popular. He didn't need ABC News or CBS or Fox or any of them to tell him that Jesus was coming to town. You could tell by the crowds that followed him around. So he knocks on Martha's door. I don't reckon he called and said, "Martha, I'm coming over and bringing a few boys with me. Is that okay?" He just showed up at the door, knocked. Right? Didn't have a cell phone. Now, we don't know how many was there. We know Jesus was there. We know Martha was there. We know that Mary was there. And we know, let me see, so I get it right. We know she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. We know that there was no doubt others there, but we don't know how many. Maybe he had 12 disciples with him. Maybe he had 12 disciples and a few more with him. We don't know. Some people have speculated that maybe there was as many as 70 or 80 people here in Martha's house. And Martha was good enough to say, "Come on in, make yourself at home," and then they just keep coming, you know? Maybe. We don't know. All we know is what's in the book. But maybe. And Martha sees these people, however, if there was one or two or 10 or 12 or 50 or 80, she sees a throng of people. Now, you know how it is when we get in the fellowship building over here. We're all hungry, ain't we? And we want to eat. Amen. And everybody's trying to make our way up to the table, and the ladies are trying to shovel it out fast enough to get it, you know. And Martha's in here. She's trying to fix for this big crowd. She didn't have Morton's TV dinners either. I don't know what she had. But at the same time, here's little Mary. Again, I kind of make this assumption, but I assume that Mary is the younger of the two. Now, I may be totally wrong. I don't know. But I assume that. Little Mary, maybe she's going around with water and saying, "Can I get you a glass of water? Somebody's got to wash some feet, you know." Amen. That was the practice back in this day. They come in off the road, you wash the people's feet. That's what you did. That's like saying, "Come on in, can you get a cup of coffee?" For us. So somebody's busy washing feet. Maybe they had slaves. Maybe they did. I don't know. But the thing that I do know is Mary stopped. And Mary looked. And Mary listened. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. He goes on to say down in the next few verses that he fussed at Martha a little bit. He said, "Mary has done that needful thing." So we need to get out and we need to be Marthas in our daily life. We need to be busy about the Lord, but we need to stop and look and listen. You know, back in this day, probably wasn't real cool for Mary to be in a group if it was a group of men. Think about that. One little woman. Maybe all these men. I don't know. We don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. All these men and one little gal. And she's got this. And Jesus has a way with words, brother, let me tell you. Has he ever talked to you? Jesus has a way with words. Wouldn't you like to know what he said? Wouldn't you like to know what he said right there when Mary was sitting?
But it
She was sitting listening to the Master. The Master. The God of the universe. The Creator. The one who loves us better than anything else in the world. He loves us so much, Jeremy. What's he do? Writes our name on the palm of his hand, don't he? Amen. You done a good job Wednesday night, brother. I appreciate that. He loves us. But we get busy. I mean, it's just the way things are, right? We had I shared some of this with the men's class last week. And we had a CPR class a week ago Friday, I guess it was. I've been to several CPR classes in my life. Some of you boys know about CPR. I'm glad you do. You keep that, you know, you keep up to date on that stuff. We may need you one day, amen. But we had a CPR, and this young man that taught this CPR class, I thought did a phenomenal job. So much information in such a short period of time. And it's changed a lot, hadn't it, Jeremy, over the years? The way they recommend you to do CPR now has changed a lot. But he made this statement when he first got up, and the Lord struck my heart with it. And he said this. He said, whenever you come across a scene, whatever it may be, you know what he said? He said, I want you to take this home with you. Take this home with you. Do something. Do something. Don't pull out your phone and take pictures. He said, you'll be amazed how many times that happens. I thought of the story that Jeremy told again about the young boy drowning and people laughing and taking pictures or whatever. This young man said, do something. Some people need spiritual CPR. There's people all around us hurting, grieving. Maybe they can't breathe on their own right now because of what they're going through. Do something. What did the young man preach about this morning? I can't do that. That's just not me. Somebody else can do it better. Right? Do something. The young man said, pick up your phone and call 911. If you don't call, this is the young man, if you don't call me, I ain't coming because I don't know. Do something. If you can't do it as good as the guy, do something. People are dying around us. People are gasping spiritually. Amen? Do something. Stop and look and listen. Hey, everybody's got a telephone now. Pick up your phone and dial 911. That's something. Amen. Do something. If you know how to do CPR, by all means. He said, don't wait on somebody else to say, you go first. What do you do, Sean? You say, you call You watch, and you go get the defibrillator, right? You kind of give orders, don't you, Jeremy? Maybe I got that order wrong. But you give orders, and that way it makes people react. Read your Bible. Pray to the Lord. Do something. We're running out of time. At this very moment, I'm as young as I will ever be. I'm also as old as I've ever been. But none of us have found that fountain of youth, amen. Now, we got the advantage, folks. We're in a place where people love you. We have felt God's presence, I have. He wants to help you. And you, and you, and me. So let's stop sometimes and laugh. Let's just stop. Just stop. And look to Jesus. And listen to what he has to say. It's important. It's important. And then as we go out tomorrow, now Jeremy, you don't ride down the road looking for an accident, do you? Well, I think I'll ride down Greenville Highway and see if there's any wrecks today. No. Well, I think I'll go up on Pinnacle and see if there's any houses on fire. No, you don't do that. But when the call comes. When the call comes, when somebody there has called 911 and let you know, you're off to it, whatever it may be, right? And you will try to answer it as best you can once you get there now. Now, maybe somebody can do it better than Jeremy. Amen? Maybe they can. But do something. Amen. Sometimes I think I need it. CPR sometimes. Spiritual CPR. Because the devil works on us, don't he? He tries to keep us from doing things that we know are pleasing to God. We know it's pleasing to God. We know that certain things we do honor God. And we want to do them. And we want to do them the best of our ability. And the devil fight it. Man, he will fight it. Have you ever experienced that? So, this young man, what he left with me is, you know, if I walk by and this guy laying here flat on his back, I can walk by. It wouldn't be much of a thing to do, but I could do that. But I need to stop. And what have I got to do first, Jeremy? I got to check and see if there's any kind of movement, any kind of life there, don't I? Because he said if you check and there ain't no life there, guess what? You're probably wasting your time. Bad as that sounds. But if you see any movement, any breathing, any sign of breathing, you start doing CPR. Start doing those compressions. Amen? And you just keep on. And if you got somebody there, you switch off because you're going to get tired. Anybody that's ever done it, you're going to get tired. It's a hard job. But you're saving somebody's life possibly, quite possibly. Think of that in the spiritual realm. We walk by and see people. Ain't much sign of life there. Maybe we need to give them a little spiritual CPR. Amen. If nothing else, we can call heaven, can't we? 911. Father, help me. I don't know what to do. He's got all the answers to all the problems in all the world. Nothing surprises him. He don't go, oh my goodness. He knows what's coming down the pack. He won't wake up in the morning and say, ooh, I didn't see that one coming. He knows what's in your world. He knows what's in my world. Guess what? We can't hide nothing from him, can we? Good, bad, or ugly. We can't hide it from the Lord. Moses, this morning, Jason was talking about Moses. He was trying to run, and Jonah. Ed brought up Jonah in Sunday school, trying to run from the presence of the Lord. Didn't work, did it? You can't run from God, people. When will we ever learn that? We cannot run from God. So stay in tune with him. Read his word, amen? Right here is the only thing I know of that ain't changed, ain't going to change. It's always alive. It was always going to be alive. It'll never, ever die. Never. Never will this word die. D.L. Moody said this. He said, out of 100 people, one person will read their Bible. And 99 people will read that person. Wade McAbee used to sit right there and say, you're the only book some people ever going to read, boy. Heard him say it many of a time. That's right, preacher, he'd say. Hey, you preach it now. Do something. Stop. Sit at the feet of Jesus every chance you get. Listen to what he's got to say. Look at the Father. Listen to him. And then go out in this old mean world and do something. Do something. Mr. Udy, you up to that song? She doesn't like to be surprised, but I just surprised her. Won't you? Do something, okay? Do something. You maybe you can't, just like Jason said, maybe I can't do it as good as you can, but do something. Do something for Jesus. Maybe he's been dealing with your heart. I don't know. He deals with mine all the time. I'm glad he does. But maybe you just need to come and sit at his feet for a minute. Amen.